Friday's here, it's nearly the weekend, and it's just 1 week until qualifying for the season-opening Bahrain Grand Prix. On day 26 of our pre-season countdown, former Jordan Williams and Toyota driver Ralf Schumacher tells me about his relationship with brother Michael and why he never really became friendly with his teammates.
I was not the person to have good relationship with my teammates anyway, so too competitive. And for me, I don't know. I mean, a teammate can never be a friend. So all you expect from him is to work together and to reach the goal with the car, with the team, and after you fight against him. So that's what I expect from a teammate, not more, not less. And I wouldn't spend dinner with a teammate. I never did.
But Ralf, I find it you're not alone in thinking that, all these drivers I speak to. And did you enjoy the journey, or was it just so competitive that do you look back and think, well, perhaps Fizzy and I could have got on because we're quite similar, or is it just the nature of the business?
It's the nature of the business, I would say, but the only guy that I spoke to even in my career after we worked together, and I said, okay, it's a shame actually, that was Juan Pablo, because, you know, he's quite a cool guy, but obviously in the team he tried to beat me, I tried to beat him, and he tried everything politically, whatever. It was the time. But after all, I have to say he's a good guy, and we could have had more fun together. But, you know, at that time you're young, everybody has his manager. And then I really like what Frank did and achieved. But Frank is that kind of guy, he likes to have fight in between his drivers, because he thinks by doing that he will get the best out of the drivers. And this is a very old mentality, an old way of working. And he just basically, you know, he was not helping the situation.
Before we move on from Jordan, I think you've alluded to it, but Spa 98. That 98 season, first of all, Damon comes in. Did you welcome him? Were you excited about having did you see him as a sort of decent benchmark for yourself?
What should I say? I mean, for me, there was nothing to lose, was only to gain. But Damon didn't take me serious in the beginning.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, he was coming from Williams and he thought, you know, okay, there's somebody easy to handle and to beat, and it didn't work out for him at the end, but it doesn't matter. He got a lot of support from the team, obviously, coming from Williams, and he deserved at the time. But he was a rather difficult character as well. But then he was a lot older than I was, you know, more experience and trying to be clever and maybe being taught by all those more experienced driver how to politically work against your teammate. But maybe that's why I am like I am, and especially as a teammate, I couldn't care less. I didn't care, you know, at all.
Did that all come to a head at Spa? Is that what you mean, all the political games? And then when you start, you're one and two, and
I mean, okay, the team had to take the decision. And I understand as a team owner, I would do the same today. But the problem was Damon wanted desperately to win that race. And what he said on the radio is, I'm going to win that race. If Ralf tries to pass me, I'm going to crash into him, because we rather lose both, but I'm not going to lose against Ralf. That was his saying. And then Eddie took the decision.
Did you feel you were quicker on the day?
I was a lot quicker, but I couldn't, you know, obviously he was weaving, and then Eddie was afraid. So he said to me, okay, Ralf, please don't overtake. And, you know, I didn't like the decision, but it was a decision by the team, by the team owner. And, you know, I had to follow it. And I did.
Was that the moment where you thought, I need to move on?
No.
Or was the Williams deal already in the bag at that point?
No. That was completely different. But I have to say, you know, the problem was the 98 car, as good as the 97 was, as you know, that 98 car was really, really bad. It was so far away from everything, and it was so difficult to handle. And we were lucky at that moment. But before that, and I think it was before that, the first point we scored in Silverstone?
It was late, wasn't it? I remember it being very late, yeah.
Yeah. And what at that time happened, because we had a qualifying and had an engine failing qualifying. So, you know, obviously I was last. And at that time, you needed to have P7 in order to get to score a point. And EJ came to the grid and said to me, Ralf, just one thing. If you don't score a point this race, you are out next year.
Talk about motivating your drivers. Yes.
And I said, okay.
Did you really say that on the grid?
He said that on the grid, yeah. So I called Willie and said, okay, one thing is clear, whatever is going to happen, I'm not going to drive next year for this guy, because, you know, this is not not fair, and there's no behavior, because we, not my mistake to build this car, not my mistake to have an engine failure. So I don't want to drive for him anymore. So that was the mission, and that was the decision when I decided not to drive for John anymore.
And was Williams the obvious choice? Did you know about BMW coming in at that point?
I mean, Frank was interested, so he approached us actually at the same weekend. And it only happened because Frank was impressed because I scored the point. And what happened after the race, EJ came and said, no, forget about what I said, and you're a star, blah, 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 how he is, you know. And I said, yeah, thanks very much. And on the way home, I got a call from Willie because Frank called him and asking for the year after. So signed a letter of intent, and then it was clear that I was going to drive for Williams.
Can I ask you about Canada 01? You win the race. Michael's brother, Michael, second. The only siblings to have achieved that in the history of the sport.
For us, I mean, we were pretty strong. And I just, because my son happened to show it to me, like, not too long ago. That's why I remember. I think I stayed out longer because I couldn't overtake on track. Something like that. And I overtook him in the pits.
I'm just stuck on this memory of back in the Schumacher household, you and David sitting down watching your old race wins.
No, he showed to me. I mean, I don't.
Son, sit down.
He showed to me because it was I don't know why, but that's why I remember I overtook Michael in the pits, but we had a better car at that time and with the lower fuel. But I tried to overtake him a couple of times for straight line speed. The Ferrari was a little bit better in Montreal, although we had the much stronger engine, but aerodynamically we had like a garage door a little bit. So driving garage door. So sorry, it's the truth. Efficiency, the car was good, was well balanced, but efficiency was a problem. And we happened to win the one.
Can you remember the podium? I mean, any cheeky comments from the younger brother?
No, not at all. I mean, no. We really fought it hard against each other in some occasions when it was possible for whatever reason. But I mean, everything that Michael did, I was so happy for him, and it was really amazing. And every time I was fast or had a good weekend, it was the same for him, that there was never an issue.
How intense was that rivalry?
That year when it got closer, sometimes it was a bit more difficult. That's the way it is, because at the end of the day, we were responsible for our team, partner, sponsors, and we clearly divided that. And even at dinner, we never talked about motor racing or never about the car. At the end of the season, sometimes, or in the beginning when I was at Jordan, okay, that was a different story, but cannot remember that we ever talked about details or anything. We were too competitive for that.
Would your career have been different had Michael not been a Formula One driver?
The question is, would I have made it to Formula One if Michael wouldn't have been there? I cannot tell you. So I don't think so. I think everything, the way it went, was okay. It just didn't work out, for sure, down to me sometimes, and a bit unlucky with the incidents and accidents I had.
I'm always fascinated by sibling rivalries in sports, and I can't imagine it was easy for Ralph to watch Michael become the most successful driver in Formula One history. His achievements perhaps go a little unnoticed in the shadow of Michael, but he had a career that many would envy, with 6 wins, 6 pole positions and 27 podiums across 11 seasons. Ralph and Michael always did seem genuinely happy for each other's successes, and they made a fair bit of history together too. They are the only brothers to finish on the podium together, to each win a Formula One race, and as we mentioned in our chat, to finish P1 and P2 in a Grand Prix. They actually achieved that last feat again in 2003, also at the Canadian Grand Prix, but this time with Michael in front. Enjoy your Friday, and I'll be back over the weekend with some more great guests from the archives. Keep up with the latest F1 action on F1 Nation.
A superb finish to the line!
Race previews, post-race insights, and exclusive interviews from the heart of the F1 paddock.
Magnificent team effort all round.
Huge win for us today.
We're pushing at the limit.
We must have just got something wrong.
Oscar, can we just grab you on the way out?
A very, very cool day. It's been a weekend to remember.
You'll hear from the drivers, team principals, engineers and F1 experts from around the world.
Really, really nice to feel that atmosphere there in the garage.
Having the two of them in the points, quite impressive.
Those next few positions are worth millions of dollars.
The combination is unbeatable.
New episodes every Monday. Search your podcast app for F1 Nation.